Hey babies. Well, I was just watching some videos of celebrities in their homes, kind of like Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, but like Fun Hobo 2020 edition. Listening to construction. It's like that loudest construction. I'm not bothered by it. I actually like it. It's kind of like architecture rain. Or like a woodpecker. But my idea to start recording was from that video where I think that we're meant to feel jealous of people having such beautiful old houses that are modernized on the inside and full of accoutrements of like a wine cellar and like all these books and old furniture. And I think that those few examples of people that have that lifestyle are meant to inspire us to work harder or produce more. Or I mean, you may think that how could like a magazine or an online magazine have a motivation to inspire the continuation of capitalism, which Pope Francis told Michael Moore was sin. Capitalism is sin, yes. See. But it's just so natural to us now that we don't have to machinate these terms to describe what we're doing. We're trying to validate, if we're wealthy, we're trying to validate our own wealth. Even if it's by showing how nonchalant we are to it. If we're poor, we're trying to have hope for the American dream. But the new American dream is wealth, fame. And what was the other one? Wealth, fame, and power. Ah, yes, power. It's important. So you know, it's kind of like we let the lid off the American dream. And now it's the American dream is everything. And that's the human dream is everything now. The entire world, the whole universe. You see like Jeff Bezos, like, or Elon Musk, like, they're like, all right, next is space. I mean, all of the resources of the world are mine, so next is space. And it's cool, you know. I mean, explore space, we should. But I'm talking about the psychological root that's in all of us, not just them. Where nothing is ever enough. Where the future has to be a certain way, or the past validates the future. And it's hard for me to stay in the present moment, but the more I do, the more I can appreciate the bittersweetness of this existence. Like this fake coffee I'm drinking right now, it's like an instant coffee with like superfoods like cordyceps or whatever and reishi mushrooms. It doesn't replace coffee, but it does. Like, I'm not drinking coffee right now. It's kind of like, sometimes I feel like coffee is the end of capitalism. Like LaRue one time said, like, why are all these artists showing their like home lives? It's like, makes being a rock star less, or a pop star less cool when everyone knows all your business. But now, I mean, I just watched that tour of Charlie XCX's home. I really like her music. And I watch like the Strokes do a podcast all at their homes. They're all obviously very wealthy. And and it just kind of occurred to me that these things we accumulate, we're accumulating human time and effort. And it would seem on the face of things that we're compensating them by buying, we're doing the good thing because we're buying, we're on the demand side of the curve, we're demanding, creating higher demand for art and products and food and even Terrence McKenna, who I'm so inspired by, you know, says that gastronomy and fashion and, you know, pushing the art pedal to the floor. But I'm realizing that maybe I'm trying to stop a car that can't be stopped, but a switch has gone off in my brain that consuming means everything. I mean, art doesn't have to be bought or sold. So, consuming, let's say we put that as you have to work to buy things, that's propelling forward the system as it is. And then you get to the end of the system, we're able through the internet to see the end result of high wealth, which is meaningless, at least the wealth. I mean, the people that have it don't even appreciate it. They're like, oh yeah. You know, they kind of get used to their house, and they're like, oh, great, you know, I bought that, I feel kind of weird about having it, I feel kind of like a hoarder. It's like Charlie XCX talking about her taxidermy duck, like, oh, I feel like a hoarder. It's like, even they, like, are just like, why did I do that? Why did I buy that? And so, it seems clear now that rather than giving one person the ability to buy a million pillows, the only possible thing that I could see for the reason for buying a million pillows would be to make a really unhygienic art exhibit. Give a lot of people the ability to buy the two pillows they need. And live well, like the two pillows extends to whatever they need, you know? Like a real decent place to live. And like the people of Detroit, you know, don't have water because we never made sure they got water. Like, what's going on? Why don't they have water? There's no excuse. Obviously, Americans aren't patriotic because we're not able to secure water for an entire city, and I'm sure more food for every child. And then we're supposed to like watch the like new iPhone reveal and get all, you know, drool, get all excited when there's no accountability. We do need government. We do need a mechanism to make everyone's life better. Because private ownership just leads to private FOMO, private boredom, private used to what you have, private life, just like a, yeah, I mean, you have friends. You know, have a nutritionist and a, like a trainer. But it's like even the food, the exercise we need. What if it was just like we had these, like, used all of our gorgeous parks every day and took a walk? Or had, like, clubs where, you know, every day we scheduled a walk either by ourselves or with a group, and it like randomly paired us where we could meet someone new and take a walk with them. I mean, now in the coronavirus quarantine, simple things like that just seem so dreamy, you know? But it's like two birds with one stone. Like, get exercise, walk, get fresh air, get vitamin D, get socialization all at the same time. Like, that's something I'm really interested in. Another similar idea I had was online listening. Like, what if there was a career where I could just, I mean, I could just listen really well to people online, and maybe it could be randomly paired, kind of like, I mean, I hate to use, to refer, you know, it's like Chatterbait, like this online app that connects people randomly and they can switch to different people. But it's like an idea, it's like a crowdsourced, like mutual masturbation platform. But what if we, but then like still sexualize? So it's like, what if we take the sexualization out of it? Or at least like take out the intention of sexualization. And maybe if we move closer, it would be like the in-person version would be like Cuddle.com, or I don't remember if that's the right one, but it's like this app that you can find people nearby to give you physical touch. And you can even pay them, to give you non sexual touch. And that would be maybe like a in-person physical version of this. Maybe like therapy, but without the need for feedback. Because maybe it's been an assumption so long that feedback is a necessary part of therapy. Like maybe, Thich Nhat Hanh, he says, listening is such a great gift. Maybe people need to be listened to by a human being. And I don't know if it needs to be monetized necessarily, but as long as we're living in a capitalist world, maybe we should start. Maybe we do need to, whatever money we're spending on a new technology every year, whatever money we're spending on things that we don't really do as much good, if we could put that into like more of like a Patreon situation or a crowdsourced, like basically investing in people directly. But even for personal connection, like so many tarot card readers or channelers, people online. I even remember watching like an old psychic call-in line from like the 80s or 90s, like a 900 number. And, sure, if you want to do tarot cards, that's great. But what if we just had like connecting people through the internet? Connecting people through the internet. Just to connect without an expectation of recompense. Basically, listening is enough. Or, you listen to someone else for an hour and then you get connected with someone else and they listen to you for an hour. And that's payment enough. Or like the mid idea by Jerome Lanier, who wrote 10 Reasons to Delete Your Social Media Accounts Now, talking about how people are in unions, basically digital unions, that they contribute their work or their effort to the group, and then it increases the reputation of the group, and then the group can take on clients, and the group can maintain, basically a business, a union-owned business, digital, where the group can maintain certain security for the finances of the group. And you can only stay in the group if you, or some groups are open or very, a lot of people can join, and you can join multiple groups for different levels of specificity of, if you do landscape photography in Tucson, you can be part of that mid. And there's a demand for that, and we can, anytime that someone links to a photo you took of landscape photography in Tucson, then they will pay 10 cents to view it, or 1 cent or whatever it is, or part of their subscription for the site that they use to see it, and then the mid receives that remuneration. So it's just, we can create more communal, more flowing, more reciprocative systems very easily now because of the internet, instead of just feeding these machines. Like, I mean, I think of a machine, I think of meat production and dairy production. Like, there's no need for it, you know. Right now I'm trying like raw food. It's like, you know, I'm trying not to become a machine myself. And so for me, the way that I'm practicing that or exploring that is by, one, not using like kitchen tools. Like, I have like plates and bowls, mostly bowls, and I have a fork, spoon, and knife, two of each, or I actually have one knife, one spoon, and three forks, and, you know, I'm trying this sort of raw vegan plus diet where sometimes I go to the grocery store and get like some bread or soba or like pre-cooked food like that. But mostly like making like a big salad, like herbs, lots of cilantro, lots of like, as you know, local as I can get, like greens, just kind of wash them, and eat broccoli raw, you know, wash that, kind of take it apart a little, and then like for a dressing, like cut up some garlic, cut up some ginger with my butter knife, you know. And you know, I don't feel comfortable using sharp knives, and since it doesn't seem to be necessary, I just don't. And it gets me more hands-on, literally, with my food production. You know, ideally I would be growing it myself. I'm just not there yet. So, you know, buying local as much as I can, or organic as much as I can. And then buying foods that I don't need a sharp knife. Like, I don't really eat onion right now. If I did, I would just like take it apart with my hands, or orange, you know, I just like skin it with my hands, or or a knife or a spoon, you know, and a butter knife. So yeah, I mean, just getting more basic with everything. It's like, I'm in a position now where, you know, on a daily basis, I feel like I'm doing right. I really feel like I'm doing right. And how am I doing right? I'm eating as ethically as I can. I'm staying home because of the quarantine. I'm checking in with my friends. I'm checking in with my family. I'm trying to eat nutritious food. I'm just wearing the clothing that I have, you know, even though it doesn't really fit properly, exactly properly. I'm trying to wear a mask in public, and I'm trying to live a life that anyone could live. Or it's just not about accumulating accoutrement. It's like, or accessorizing, or elevating even. It's not about ambition. And you know what I have now is from this journey of eating so many fruits. I've got all these fruit pictures, and I've got these flower pictures and pictures of clouds. And you know, this morning I was thinking like, oh, I should make a book called Flower, Fruit, Puddle, Cloud. I was thinking about how that's four, and number four in Japan is kind of unlucky. But it, now that I think about it, number 13 adds to four. But four is half of eight, so, you know, if I had sets of two of each, I could do eight, which is lucky, or at least for me it is. And then have it add up to 88 in the end. But regardless, you know, kind of this more natural approach to and it all feels very hippie, you know. I'm like, what I thought of as hippies, like really thinking about all your little smallest choices and how they affect things, you know. And I saw the Nowness YouTube channel where I was watching the Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, and it was Jake Chapman, I think. He's an artist, and his art was cool, and I liked it. And, you know, he had this sign called Church Lunch that he stole from a church, and he lived in this amazing, elegant house, and I saw his flooring was, like, this gray, just, like, concrete flooring, which, like, really appealed to me. And he was like, oh, I can't believe I have to, like, wash my own brushes. Can you believe that? You know, it's like, obviously he has this, you know, he has like dirt bikes, and he has this situation where he can play, and that's great. And I guess I would question, I feel like maybe in the same way that Eric Weinstein thinks that string theory is over, I sort of think that that form of art where we're sort of like politicizing images is kind of run its course. And, you know, if we show people a door and it's dark and shadowy world, you know, if we spend a lifetime creating spiritual beliefs and then end up killing ourselves, it doesn't set a good example. And so maybe a path for art, one that's already been there, it's one that's so beautiful already, is everyone's art, where we can appreciate finer and finer degrees of subtlety of a flower, of a puddle, of a wood grain, and not trying to get insta famous off of it. Just appreciating it. And the system as it is now, you know, I mean, art always challenges the system. But at what point, as an artist, if you monetize your art, are you just becoming part of the system? And I guess you could argue, well, why should artists have to suffer? Well, maybe art is suffering because it, or maybe art isn't about I mean, it could just all be a rationale for me not being a quote unquote successful artist, and I recognize that. But, you know, Jake Chapman, he was like, oh, you know, I was worried that moving out into the country here would make me start painting flowers or something. Like, as if that was irrelevant. And I just thought, maybe you should start painting flowers, you know? Maybe you should, maybe the cities that we've created, we're all moving to the cities. Maybe, as Paulina Aukina says, you know, they're built on shadow. And our art has been subsumed into that shadow and just became a part of it. You know, what kind of art would Jesus do? What kind of art does Jesus do? You know, an art derived from Christ consciousness. Yes, I do think the art can show us the darkening of religious ideology, or, you know, a crazy smile painted on an old saint's photo. But it can also reacquaint us with the present moment, which is what I see is such a primal lesson of spirituality, and one that, if we learn it communally, cooperatively, if we can take walks together and listen to each other, then we can be in this sort of Star Trek future where we figured out the main problems. We don't have to spend our time fighting for to resolve basic problems. Like, that's what we're, I mean, it seems like that's the goal, right? That's the obvious goal, is to get all the details out of the way, create a system that takes care of our basic needs and lets us focus on what it really is to be human. I mean, it even occurs to me that leaving the planet might take away a little bit of our humanity, or a lot of it. But these higher and higher ambitions, these extending ourselves out further and further and further, you know, the rationale is always given that it's the only way for us to survive. But what if the other way for us to survive was not to give up on our communal consciousness, our personal consciousness, and to become peaceful, to not pass on the trauma. It's like Dr. Gabor Mate. You know, how all of our addictions and our pathologies and our problems and our sufferings, or many of them, if not all, are caused by trauma, especially from when we were children. And if we can heal ourselves, that heals the next generation. And I just keep like coming back to this reality from my perspective, that whatever we do to find peace in our own hearts affects everyone. And it's no longer that working hard to support your family, that's not enough. You have to work hard to make yourself whole and to heal your traumas and to be flexible and to soften your heart, as they say in the Bible, and to become gentle person that doesn't traumatize everyone you come into contact with. And that in itself is a life well lived. And if that requires that you don't, that you go live in an ashram, good. If it means that you are a hardworking farmer, good. If it means that you don't drink, don't do drugs, don't have a car, own a car, don't drive a car. If you're, you know, Amish, or if you're me, you're not buying a car, you're not driving a car. If it means that you don't buy new clothing, if it means that you make music all day, it's like Brian Eno said, don't get a job, or try not to, if you're an artist. We all have to become artists. We all have to be as lazy as we've got to be, quote unquote lazy. And money is not the foundation of the healing that we need to do. Money is, in fact, pressing down the lever, pressing down the pedal to accelerate into a future that will destroy us. We all have to figure out a way to find peace now, and the ongoing process of peace, and maintain that. And that's not pushing on the brakes. That's automatic. What is it? Speed. It's like when you click the button, the switch, and cruise control. We don't need to accelerate. We need cruise control. It's more fuel efficient, especially on long distance, which we are. And we've already created all the energy we need. Now we just need to use it. We've already made all the clothes. We've already found how to split the atom. We've already figured out all of this. Now we need to stop making and making and making and producing, because that was never the point. The point was to get us in a place where we already are. And now it's the human mind, the human soul that needs to reconcile that we've arrived. We have the internet. We have the tools. We have all the, I mean, we have all the people. And now we need to accept the fact that justice is done. Justice is done. As like a final thing to say, I guess, today. This morning I was thinking about how if I died, if I died, like, I was, like, thinking how long it would take for someone to find me, which I know is, like, something people think of sometimes, especially in lonely times when, you know, you're self-quarantining, you're overseas, you know, you can't see your partner if you don't have a partner or whatever. And, I think the term 3 days keeps coming to mind. 3 days. I think it would take 3 days. But do I suffer that fact? No, it was just a thought. Accepting my own death means justice is done for me, and no matter the circumstances, the fact that I have peace now, that's the gift I was always searching for. We don't have to strive to thrive. Hashtag strive to thrive. Don't have to. Love you guys. Thank you for listening.